Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey everybody, welcome to a end of the year Matter of Truth episode. I am one of your hosts, Alex, and I'm joined with me as always, Anthony, on the other side of the world, it feels like. So now we're even further apart, man.
Yeah, you're moving further west opposed to east, you know? You're supposed to come this way.
I am moving west. And as a matter of fact, I'm in transit right now. This is how committed we are to getting you an episode. I closed out the apartment tonight, cleaned it all up, turned in the keys, packed up my car with the last few bits of things, and I'm driving to Iowa right now. Yeah. Going home.
Avoiding all the snow. No snow there?
Not on the roads, but we got a pretty good storm last night.
Oh, yeah.
It dumped probably about 4 inches in a couple of hours, so it came through real fast.
Really? So what you're telling us is you're not really escaping the snow of Illinois, then?
Oh, sadly, I'm not. We've actually had more snow in Iowa at the house there than Illinois had this year, so I'm going to have to go give my congregation a little bit of a hard time because they were trying to sell me that their winters were less harsh than Illinois.
Really? Well, look, man, safe travels. Actually, last week you were talking about how there was a big snowstorm that you have to drive through, or windstorm or something, right?
Yeah, it was last week. I was I'm moving some stuff in my car. I was driving home Wednesday night because I had a church service to preach on for Christmas Eve. And so I left work, got back to the apartment, packed up a few things, got on the road, and I got maybe about, so it's about a 5.5, give or take, drive, 5.5 hours, and I got about 4 hours in, and the snow was terrible, but it wasn't sticking to, like, the road, it wasn't making the road slick, but it was so heavy that it was causing whiteouts, and because the wind was so bad, it was like 50 mile an hour winds, and I think I made a comment in one of the group chats we're in that I was getting like 15 miles to the gallon because I was driving right into this wind.
Wow.
And it was terrible, and I've got a little bit of wind tonight, but
yeah,
I actually had to stop about an hour and a half from my house and get a hotel just so I could stay safe. It was awful.
Sounds pretty bad. And traveling in the Midwest is brutal, to say the least. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. So, just for those who are listening, we have decided to kind of forego any topics tonight. We've been requested by a few people to give our backstory, kind of talk about how we came to faith. And so kind of give you a little bit of a, behind the scenes to who you guys listen to on a bi-weekly basis for a matter of truth. Yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to you. I want you to do your story first.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I'm interested to hear it. All right. I'm far less interesting than you, so.
I don't know about that. I don't know how interesting I am at all.
Same.
I don't know. I think we're all, like, very much the same. We're all sinners, right?
Right. Before you start, I want to make this comment, and I'm always fascinated by this, how everybody wants to know, like, you know, oh, do you have a testimony? Tell us your story, how you came. I'm like, there's nothing spectacular. It's like, I get, you know, it kind of helps mold together maybe this imagery of who we are, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I saw an angel and, you know, I didn't get divine intervention here. I mean, just an average Joe.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to hand it to you and let you take the reins.
All right. So, I want to start off by saying the episode we did with Psy 10, Bergen Kate, it actually got me really thinking about my past and how everything has come to this moment. And with my whole journey, my Christian walk, I love how he had talked about the a seed is planted, and you know, we don't know how that faith is grown. It's over a period of time. If it's like this one moment that you remember, you come to Christ. So anyway, I'll start off with this, is that I always believed in God. We always prayed. I have a Roman Catholic background. I was raised Roman Catholic, went to a Catholic school my whole life, up until ninth grade, when my mom moved me to a Christian school. So my mom was from Bogota, Colombia, and she was a devout Roman Catholic. My father, Italian, Roman Catholic as well. So we were raised in going to church on Sundays, confirmation, first communion, first confession, you know, everything Roman Catholic is how I was raised. And so my mom got into going to a thing called Tag Ministries, I think is what it was, and as well as like Marriage Encounter. And she was introduced to the actual Christian faith, born again, putting your faith in Christ. And the guy named CJ Mahoney was actually running the Tag Ministries. And that's actually how she came to putting her faith in Christ, was through the ministry that CJ had. From that point on, it was different in our household with respect to how, you know, God was spoke about. We got an understanding that we weren't getting in the Catholic school, Roman Catholic school, about who Christ was. So my mom always was pointing us to Christ and what it was to be born again. So she put me in a Christian school. Didn't last there. Completely rebellious. Though at that school, there was a moment where I remember I was upset about something, and one of the teachers came out and said, "Hey, do you want to give your life to Christ?" I said the words, you know, and went through the motions. And really, that was it. You know, I went on living my life. I was at that point really interested in music. So I got into music through my high school years, and started playing out in the club scene, and what every musician wants, they want to get a record deal. And that's what I started to pursue. So that's the lifestyle I lived, was really all about music, everything music, and that whole bar scene and the debauchery, getting into, you know, the drinking, touching around drugs a little bit. I didn't get really into that much. But my whole goal and my whole ambition had nothing to do with God. Even though I was getting it at home from my mother and my father, I didn't want anything to do with that. Other than, you know, I'd go to church on Sunday. I would those types of things, Easter, Christmas, and that was it. It was all completely focused on music. So I was pursuing music up until the point where my mom had just retired, and she actually a few months later was diagnosed with glioblastoma, stage 4 brain cancer. So at that point, something inside of me was like, wow, this is something else. This is out of my control. And I went into this mode of, I've got to get her healed. Again, it was me. I have to take her to these healing services. So I found some healing services. I took her, you know, and the thing about it is she was initially given 3 months to live after the operation. And she actually was blessed with 3 years. The Lord blessed her despite my ambition and my wanting to take her to these healing services that were completely just odd. It was completely strange. It was everything you see, you know, at the healing service videos and whatnot. But again, she lived for the 3 years, and during the 3 years, my wife had her first child. We had our child. So she was able to see her come into this life, and that was a blessing in and of itself. And after she passed away, I went right back to you know, to music. There was a period when she was blessed with those 3 years that I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna do the best I can. And it was just, you know, it was just this lukewarm, you know, Sunday Christian. I spoke about it, but it was never giving myself. The cost was never there. Walking away from music never really entered my mind. I always knew deep down that I wanted to get back to music. So that's actually what happened. Got into another band, landed a record deal. We were doing tours with Motley Crue, Godsmack, Theory of a Dead Man, those types of bands. And, you know, the next few years, it was just all touring. I was away from my family. And there was actually a break in touring. We came home. My wife started going through having some issues. We took her to the doctor. She was tested to get to the bottom of what the issues were. And when I got home, I actually, I was scared. I was honestly scared. I knew I'd been blessed with, you know, a wonderful family, a wonderful wife. And I felt just so convicted of my sin and how I had been never walking really in faith at all. And God was only my God when I needed something. So at that moment, I was in tears. I was scared for my wife, scared for just different thoughts. I emailed a couple guys in the band, and I said, I'm done. I'm out. I need to focus on God. I need to focus on my family. So at that moment, that was it. I walked away from music altogether. That was it. And I made a promise to God, and I pray I'm going to be strong and keep it. And I know I am, that I would not step back up on stage, unless it's to bring God glory. And, you know, at that point, like I said earlier, we were touring with these bands like Korn, and, we did shows with like Stone Temple Pilots, all these different types of bands. And I was so it was in the trenches, man. And just, that's all I wanted to do was get up on stage, because that's what fulfilled me. That's where I got my my gratification, my validation, was, you know, up there and hearing the applaud from the audience. And I was lost.
Yeah.
I was lost in the lifestyle. I was lost in the state of mind of that secular world. And God plucked me out. He was so gracious. His grace has been on me since I was a little kid. I mean, from my mom praying, and she always did, wanting us to come to faith in Christ. And God used my mom. He used the ministry of like John MacArthur, Alistair Begg. It was so impactful listening.
Yeah.
Even though I was running from it, I would listen and... It ended up penetrating my heart. The earplugs came out, the scales fell off my eyes, and I haven't looked back since that time. I was baptized in 2018, and God has just been wonderful to me. Somebody who I don't deserve it at all, and He's been blessing me and my family, and I owe it all to God. It was nothing I did, nothing I could have done, and that's really kind of how I ended up to where I am today. And it just really goes to show, the mustard seed's planted, and who plants it, and God will grow that as He, in His time, and how He sees fit, if He chooses to. And so my journey has been kind of a roller coaster, all over the place. I could go into a lot more detail, but that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I'm just so blessed by the prayers, again, from my mom and the different ministries and people that God used to get me to the point where He has opened my eyes and my ears. And I just pray for knowledge and for wisdom and to only glorify His name.
That's, in our side conversations off of the show, we've kind of expressed this, both of our walks to each other. And every time I hear the things that you've gone through, I hear so many similarities in my story.
Mm-hmm.
And, I haven't had to deal with the loss of a parent, but like your influence from the secular world really kind of lays true to me. And it's such a breathtaking, and it leaves you speechless when you just sit in awe at what God has done in our lives and taking what we used to be and making us into who we are today. So my walk, a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences. I didn't grow up, per se, in a Christian household. My parents worked the weekends. My dad was a correctional officer for the state of Illinois for the prison system. And my mom worked retail. So they worked all sorts of hours, all the weekends, all the time. And so we rarely went to church. Now, when we moved to downstate Illinois, where I grew up for most of my adolescent and teenage years and young adult years, we lived in a small community, 500 people. There was three churches in this town, and all three of them were Lutheran churches, funny enough. So you can start sending me your hate mail now. I kind of bounced actually between all three at different times. When I was a young teenager, my mom wanted me to go through confirmation. So I started going to one. It was Missouri Senate. It was extremely strict, and I just felt so out of place. Like, I'm like, this is not anything about what I want to do. I don't feel right here. And so I kind of left that scene. And then I think the next year I joined one of the other churches, and it worked out well. I got confirmed, but again, I didn't really know anything. Like, I didn't know any catechisms. I didn't know about the Bible. Like, I had a Bible, but I didn't know anything about it. I tried to read it, and I'm like, I don't understand any of this. This is literally like I'm reading French or ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. I just couldn't make sense of it. I could make sense of, in the beginning, God created, and then after that, I just lost interest. And so, my parents never forced me to go to church. They never you know, instilled that that burden on my heart. But I got confirmed, and you know, I started dating this really cute girl in high school who I just so happened to marry, and she wanted to get married in her church, and I was totally fine with it. You know, and I got to admit, and I've told her this before, you know, I felt like I played the part of Christian in my early to late teenage years. Like, I hung out with church kids. Some of my best friends, their dad was a pastor, and so I hung out with them a lot. And, you know, so I played the part. You know, I did the things. I went to church camps. I did mission trips. You know, I wore the T-shirts. I went to the band concerts. Like, I seen DC Talk in concert way back in the day.
Wow.
But I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. And so when my wife and I were dating and we got married, I still played that part. Like, I would kind of admit that I didn't need to go to church because, you know, God and I had this like agreement. You know, I was one of those people, like, oh, I'm a Christian and I don't have to go to church type thing. Truth is I had no clue about what I was saying because I was ignorant and blind by my own pride and selfish ambitions. So we get married. I took a job with Best Buy, and, you know, I worked myself up the ladder. I was a store manager, and they were like, hey, move to Chicago, and we'll give you your own store and, you know, maybe even make you a district member after a number of years. You know, you got all this potential. You're so, I mean, they hyped me up, right? I was the youngest store manager in the company, and they're like fast tracking me for everything. So I get going, we moved to Chicago, and I spent 2 years in the store in Aurora, and I tried to get myself into a standalone store. Like, I tried to be a GM of my own store. That didn't work out. It fell completely through because I couldn't play politics. I was too nice of a person. And I couldn't walk over other people to get what I wanted. So I started going back to school, got my bachelor's in computer science, and then I took the transition out of retail and into IT. And, you know, all the while, I'm not going to church. Like, I have no connections to church and nothing. Took a few odd jobs that lasted, you know, a year, 9 months, whatever. And finally, my wife says, after we were there for a couple of years, she says, you know, I'd like to start going back to church. This is in 2014. This new church opened up just down the street. Do you want to go and try it out? I'm like, yeah, you know, that's fine. I don't care. Now, I'm out of retail, so I had weekends off. So church would work out. So we go to this church. It's a big church, you know, a couple thousand members, but it wasn't like a mega church. It wasn't like massive. They had it split to where people would come to three different services. So the church size was only a couple hundred at each service, which was, well. So we start doing the church thing. And I start hearing the gospel preached. The pastor at the time was going through the book of Revelation. And, now I know, but little did I know then, extremely dispensational in his approach. Everything was literal. I mean, it was like a page out of the book of Left Behind.
Really?
Yeah. Like, this stuff's going to happen. We're going to see locusts, and we're all going to, a mountain's going to crash into the earth. And I had no idea, but I thought it was, you know, like, but it was captivating, and it caused me to search because I was hearing the gospel. And so I started reading theology. I started reading books from like Tozer and who else did I read early on? I did go through the Tony Evans stint. Trying to think, there was one other person that I don't really get into now.
C.S. Lewis?
Not so much Lewis. I do like some of his non-Christian writing. I did like Screwtape Letters. That's a really fascinating book to read. I did do Ravi Zacharias. I think that might have been it. But these guys like caused me to start thinking rationally about my faith and start to examine it. And so it took me down the journey of reading my Bible completely and saying, do I acknowledge this? And while the answer obviously was yes, because prior to all of this, I would have considered myself a Christian. I had a very basic knowledge of Jesus, but I was never, like a full-blown Christian. And so I was, hook, line, and sinker into it, and I started reading and amassing doctrine. I started reading books and collecting books, and I had various conversations with the new pastor that took over that church. And finally, he just, we got to the conversation about, my faith. And he's like, well, have you ever considered going into ministry? And he's like, you know a lot. You've got a deep passion for helping and sharing. Because I was working in the church doing various ministries. But at the time, I'm like, I had no clue. And this was probably about early 2017. And it just kind of hit me. I was like, maybe I do want to go into ministry. I'm working at a good job, working in IT. I was making good money. My wife and I had a house. We were talking about kids. We essentially had life made for us. And then the wrench gets thrown in there. Hey, you need to become a pastor, and I'm going to take everything away that you think is comfortable, and I'm going to really put your life into perspective.
Wow.
Through much of 17 and early 18, I did a lot of school searching, finding the right seminary. I did a little bit of preaching in 2018, but my pulpit supply adventures really took off in January of 2019, and I preached every month through last year, and I preached at a lot of different churches providing assistance. And then in early 2019 I got into a really good seminary. That's a different story for a different day, with the ELCA Lutherans and all that. Maybe I'll do a drive-by episode someday and talk about that. That was a train wreck. I told you about it, but it's a train wreck. So I get into seminary, I start studying, and I continue doing pulpit supply through 2020. I got kind of brushed around with a church that I thought I was going to go and be called to. That never actually happened, which I think is God's sovereign hand in that situation. And then, lo and behold, this church in Iowa had a retiring pastor and was in need of a young, fresh face and a young family. And they called me November 29th, Thanksgiving weekend. I accepted the call right away, and I'm literally driving home now to be there and be a part of this ministry. It's a small church. It's self-governed, so there's no Senate hierarchy that sits over it and tells us and dictates what we have to do. We call the shots, we make the decisions. So I've been blessed to be able to preach what I want to preach, and currently going through a series on prayer right now. So it's been an adventure. But 5 years ago, and you could probably say the same for yourself, as we look and examine our walk, 5 years ago, I would have laughed at the notion of me becoming a pastor. Even early on in my walk, I was so bent on pursuing money and fame. I was so bent that I had to be able to provide for my family. And in reality, that makes an idol out of our careers and out of our jobs and our money, and you know, our future, our retirement. It creates an idol that we worship because we want to make sure we're contributing to our 401ks or our pensions or, you know, whatever retirement you contribute. You want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself before anything else. And that's why most companies will take out the 401k, you know, as while they take out your insurance. And it's maddening. You know, we self-preserve ourselves more than anything else in this world. And I was well deep into that path. And so, I mean, at one point, I was even selling insurance, and that is a side gig. So I can make, oh, there's another accident here. Iowa, just a side note, Iowa seems to be really known for accidents. I have not driven this road. I've driven it about 10 times so far. And every time I get to Iowa, the ditches are full of cars and semis. I just passed a semi in the median that was a jackknife, like it was turned around. And I've passed Amazon trucks in the ditch, car. I mean, it's insane. And I've never seen it in any other state than Iowa.
Is it because of ice and snow?
I think so, because I've driven every time now, other than twice, with a post-snowstorm or during a snowstorm. So it's been absolutely bizarre, my travel adventures this year. But
I was just going to say, you know, I think that looking back at our past, like you said, you never think you're going to be where you are. And I think that even goes for outside of, you know, being a non-believer, outside of the faith, so to speak. And 5 years ago, 6 years ago, yeah, I never thought I'd be studying, and I study when I can, but studying the word the way I do and being a part of a podcast and those types of things, because I had actually not done anything in the church. This is the interesting thing. My whole life, like I said, I knew of God. I knew of Christ. I was never an atheist. I went through an agnostic state of kind of defining God as I saw fit. But and it's interesting, I never, you know, served at a church or anything like that. And with, I guess back into the, I don't know if it was, I'm trying to think when we met, Alex, was it 2018 or 2019? It was 2019?
I think it was 19, yeah, early 19, maybe.
Yeah, so at that point is when I was like, I want to share. How can I share my faith? How can I share these amazing things that I hear from people that impacted my life, like John MacArthur's ministry? I attribute not only my mom, but the ministry of John MacArthur in helping me come to true faith in Christ. So I wanted to share those types of things. R.C. Sproul was another one who had a profound impact in just listening. And I was always fascinated you know, by his teachings. So then I started, you know, the Instagram page, and you know, it is what it is. It's kind of a way to share faith, and then that led to meeting you and to this podcast, and then just, you know, trying to get into deeper study through books and reading. So I mean, I think you hit it on the head. I played the part like you'd mentioned you did for a long while, and you know, I always had, again, that basic knowledge of Christ, you know, and again, I look at how God has been with me the whole way through, and he really has never left my side. I've strayed, yes, but it's an amazing thing to look back that how God has brought me back to life and that whole thing. So I'll tell you a quick story. When I was out touring, we did a whole summer with It was a huge tour with these bands like Motley Crue. And I'm going to name the names only because it makes the story interesting, somewhat interesting, at least to me. So it was Motley Crue. It was Godsmack. It was Theory of a Dead Man. And Drowning Pool, and my band was called Charm City Devils. So we roll into Mountain View, California to do a show at an amphitheater. And at this point, I was listening to MacArthur. I was listening to Alester Begg because at that point, my mom had already passed away. And Alester Begg, I reached out to Alester Begg, and he actually called my mom during her last year of life here. And spoke with her and prayed with her. And that had it was another profound impact on me of this man of God. So that's something that I've always carried. So anyway, we roll into California and we go to the whole deal is we unload, we get the stage set up, and then we got our band van parked in the parking lot. And we're all hanging out doing our thing. And I remember I decided to take a walk with my drummer, and we passed by, and there was probably 15 to 25 people holding signs. And I'm like, what is this? And as I walked by, there was a sign for each band referencing the band name, and they were Christians, you know, and they were referencing like Theory of a Dead Man, Motley Crue, Godsmack, you know, in these signs that were basically saying repent, seek God. Those types of things that you see out at, you know, different types of rock shows and other things. And that hit me, man. That really hit me. I'm like, wow, that here I am, you know, I claim to be a Christian. What am I part of that what people are seeing is a totally different persona. They don't even know me. But again, that's a problem as a Christian. You know, why are you going to keep your light, you know, hidden? You should be preaching, you should be sharing your faith, you should be part of something that represents your king, my king. And I was not. I was part of something that represented the darkness and the things of this world. So I was guilty by association. You know, of course, they didn't know my heart. I know God knew my heart. You know, because again, at that point, I was listening. I was trying to further my knowledge of God, but I was not willing to walk away from anything that I wanted to do, as you mentioned as well. I wanted fame. I'd finally got the fame. I wanted the accolades on stage. I wanted people screaming. I mean, that was a hard thing to do. I think back about it. I was like, because I struggled with, okay, I'm going to give up, you know, performing in front of thousands of people, because that's what I've always wanted to do. And that's what I've always thought completed me. It never did. It never filled a hole. I was always empty and dead inside until I truly put my faith in Christ. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting story, how that the impact of seeing those Christians chanting and holding signs, warning people about going into the show. And here I am kind of on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting too, because prior to really my realization of Christ and, you know, maybe even shortly thereafter, probably for a little bit of time, I went to those types of concerts. I was a big Korn fan, and so I would go and see Korn and Disturbed in concert at least once or twice a year when they came through the Chicago area. And yeah. I had a buddy from work, and we'd just go together. And you know, and so I experienced the crowd life, right? It's sin driven. I mean, you're down in mosh pitting, and there's always somebody, multiple people smoking pot. There's drugs being passed around. I mean, clothes are pretty much optional in a lot of the venues. Mm-hmm. It's really a different breed of life. And, you know, to say that I was, you know, I wasn't like a fanatic fan. You know, I didn't do the, you know, like I had friends that would paint their fingernails black and because they're emo and they wear black and dye their hair black and wear black makeup. And I never did that. I was just a normal guy. I'm like, I just like the music because it's heavy. You know, like I lifted weights and it was kind of like my motivation, right? I played football in high school, so I need hey, heavy music. And so it's so crazy how I would, if I were to go listen to some of this stuff today, I can maybe stomach one song before I'm just kind of like, oh, this is just, this kills me now. And
yeah,
it's just, it's a bizarre change of perception.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And I think with music, see, the danger is this with music, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole because this could be actually another episode. The danger, so putting your faith in Christ, it's really easy to then go quickly, which I did do, to the Bethel music and to the Hillsong music. Okay. And because it was so similar to what, is going on in the rock genre. We were a little bit more of this style called octane rock, yeah, whatever you want to call it, which was a little bit heavier, but it was so easy to be like, okay, well, you know what? Christians are actually emulating what I'm used to, so I'm just going to go here. And over the last couple of years, I've really learned from different people that I've met via Instagram, different accounts, of the danger of the theology in the music that is Christian, and in seeing that and learning about that, you know, who I thought were like the couple of the guys in Korn are quote Christian, but they follow John, I think his name is John Crowder or something, one of those kind of Bethel type of crazy drunk in the spirit, drunk on wine. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wow. I had no idea. And at the beginning of my kind of walk for a brief minute, that's what I was like, okay, this is okay. And it clearly wasn't. So, you know, there's so much going on in the Christian world that looks and smells and sounds just like the world. How do you differentiate? Because, yeah, it's like, okay, I said some words. I quote, put my life and gave it to Christ. And here I am at these churches that you're getting falling all over each other, laughing, being drunk in the spirit and things like that. And then you have Christians defending that standpoint when that is no different, to your point, of being in a mosh pit and listening to this music that incites these emotions and these feelings for you to act a certain way. And that's the same thing as being on stage. And I can firsthand tell you, the music drove me to act and say things and be a certain way. And I was in no way, I was not in control, because I'd let myself, had given myself over to that lifestyle, how, you know, how you live, how you sound, what you do. So there's a huge danger in kind of going from there to then Christian. And I say this because I had a friend, she had quote given her life to Christ, and we would talk via Facebook and stuff, and she was like, started talking to me about Todd White. And I was like, oh, I never heard of Todd White at that point in time. I hadn't. It was very, very, very early on. And I said, have you ever heard of John MacArthur? And I was shooting her over to John MacArthur and Lester Begg. She's like, no, I never heard of him, but I'll check him out. Anyway, she's totally on this Todd White kick because of the Korn guys. So she then started this ministry inside trans bars. But it wasn't a ministry to reach them and point out they need Christ and they need to repent. It was to justify, to validate that they are okay. They are okay who they are as, and they can still give their life to Christ. And I was floored by it all. So anyway, long story short, you know, she reached out to me. She's like, hey, you want to go on tour with this band? Do you want to be their, you know, the bass tech? And I'm like, no. You know, at that point in my life, I'd already started walking away from it. And, you know, the story ends very sad. And I think about it often because I'm like, did I point her enough to the true God? What it ended up happening is they were out on the road. Their RV had a flat tire. They pulled over to change it. The band van carrying the equipment behind pulled in behind, and a tractor trailer had swerved off the road, hit the van and hit the RV. The RV exploded. She was killed. The bass player was killed, and people were injured. And I'll never forget hearing about it, because I just spoke with her a couple months before when she was trying to get me to go out and be the base tech. I would have been in one of those vans.
That would have been you, dude.
Yeah. So I look at these things in that period of my life where I was kind of on the fence between 2015 and 2017. I was like this lukewarm Christian. And I look at how many people had passed away and had died. And when that happened, I'm like, again, in my spirit, I was like, or in my soul or whatever you want to call it, inside of me, I was torn up about it, because I had had reservations when she was telling me about this ministry and what it was about and just everything about it. And I'm like, I felt like a failure, honestly, you know, in looking back at it, I still do, that I had missed an opportunity, you know, other than I was like, you should listen to MacArthur, you should listen to Begg, you know, because when I did go check out Todd White, I was like, this is not sitting right with me. And again, at that point, I was still on the fence, you know, this lukewarm Christian. So it's just very interesting how God works in your life. And the things that he uses and to keep you on a narrow path, you know, for those he's chosen. And I'm blessed. I can't imagine my life without God and just the walk and how amazing he's been to me and my family, because I deserve nothing. I mean, again, my background, that's just the tip of the iceberg in my background. I was a wretched person, really a wretched person growing up. I was.
Yeah. So was I, and I still am.
Yep.
And, you know, but that's the beauty, is that God pulls us out of the path that we were heading down, which is the broad road of destruction. And he shows us this narrow and difficult path to walk to life. And we stumble and fall off of it, and he picks us right back up and puts us on it again. And
it really is. And you know what? I know we're getting to, like, you know, 50 minutes. So I want to close out with a couple verses that impacted me when I truly put faith in Christ. Was 2 Peter 3:9. This was one that really, I think, it is amazing. His profound patience, his how just deep that is. You know, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is just that verse. I love that verse. It's just so, it's such an amazing verse. And then another one my mom always wrote to me, and I want to do this because I just loved my mom. And she wrote it in letters to me, and she would always tell me, it was Psalm 51, 10 verses through 12. And I have this actually in front of me because I don't have it memorized. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I just, you know, I get what my mom was saying in giving me that verse to read and meditate on as a kid, as a teen, all the way through up into her death, you know, and what she wanted. So I would encourage anybody, plant the seed, and it's okay if you don't get the response you want or what you think, because it's about what God will and what God wants, and just keep spreading the good news of God, because you don't know what fruit that will bear. Yeah. That's for God to know.
That's true. I was going to say that in regards to, you know, your friend who passed away. You know, you may have said something and it crushes you that you may not have been able to fully articulate or better articulate, but you could have been just one of many. And the one thing that I found to be completely comforting with my walk, and especially doing the eschatology series on Undying Light, is that we're not given from Scripture what happens after we die. There's no account in Scripture that says once you die, these things happen. We are told events to take place that will govern all people, but individually we're not told.
Right.
So that's where you get the soul sleep or the eternal bliss conversations that spring up. But, you know, the way one of my professors told me, and I think this is a beautiful thing for people to hold to, is that if you're dealing with a loved one or you know somebody who's passed away, and even if they struggled with faith, or maybe they were held to it, you know, they held on to a different type of faith, you know, maybe a Todd White type, because they didn't know any better. You know, the only thing I can rest in knowing is that God is merciful. And I still can say, and I can't say for certain because I don't know whether they're saved or not saved, right? That's
only God's
God doing.
Knows. Yep.
We as humans do not get the ability to determine whether somebody's going to go to heaven or hell. All we can do is baptize that person and proclaim them to be a Christian in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and let God do the deciding. And so when they die, the next thing they know is God telling them, is Christ telling them, get up and rise.
Right.
And we leave it to God's hands. It's his business.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to the essentials of our Christian faith, that's the baseline right there.
Yeah.
And you know, and with respect to unbelievers, we know what Christ said. Okay. And that's it.
Yeah.
So that's who we abide in. That's who we believe in, because he is God and he spoke truth. So that's what happens to unbelievers, as Christ outlines. It's not my words. It's the word of God. So you're spot on.
But that doesn't take away from the effect of assurance, right? This isn't a discussion about, can I be assured that I'm a Christian? Because the assurance of your walk isn't an internal clock or meter or checklist that you do. The assurance that you're a Christian is the work that Christ has done for you.
And right.
Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, then you have assurance right there.
Right. Christ alone, right?
Exactly.
In Christ alone.
Well, dude, I think we nailed this episode. We were thinking it'd only be like 25 minutes long.
This
and
is
we're
this,
talking an hour.
Yeah, this is how it always goes. So, yeah, this is like the phone call episode. This is how every single one of our phone calls is.
Every one, yeah. Hey, you got 5 minutes to talk, 2 hours later.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I gotta go to bed.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. So, yeah.
All right, man.
Great time, dude. I really appreciate it. And
me too.
So, and we've got some stuff we're going to come back at you guys with in January. We do have some ideas around giving you part twos of some episodes we've planned, so keep your eyes open for that. And that's all I got, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Everybody, have a safe and happy new year. God bless. And God's blessing through 2021, for sure. So everybody take care.
Definitely. God bless.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.